Homeland Security Committee voting overnight to move articles of impeachment against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas to the full House floor. Republicans like Marjorie Taylor Greene claim it's because of border security.
The facts are the facts. Secretary Mayorkas is breaking the law.
Democrats like Dan Goldman say the charges are baseless.
All of your allegations are completely bogus, and they exclude the obvious and clear rebuttal points that undermine everything that you're trying to say.
The heads of big social media companies will be on Capitol Hill today. They'll be discussing the dangers of social media to kids. The White House signaling a decision has been made on retaliation for the killing of three U.S. service members and the wounding of dozens more in that attack by Iranian-based militia in Jordan. Federal Reserve wraps up its two-day meeting today. No one expects them to move on interest rates, but members could signal what they plan on doing during their March meeting. This is ABC News. Several teachers in Oklahoma are now facing the prospect of having to give back tens of thousands of dollars in hiring bonuses. State officials are now saying those bonuses were a mistake. Here's ABC's Andrew Dimbert.
The nine teachers got the bonuses through a recruitment program for hard-to-fill teacher positions. Christina Staldman says she was awarded the $50,000 and took home $29,000 after taxes, but she says the state now wants the full $50,000 back. Ryan Walters, the official behind the teacher recruitment program, has suggested the bonuses were given after the teachers misrepresented their experience. But lawmakers from both parties insist this was the state's mistake. They're threatening to take action unless those teachers get to keep the bonuses.
And this kind of snow is getting to be a little much, even for Anchorage, Alaska. So far this season, 100 inches has fallen, putting the city on track to break the all-time record. Some of it being put to good use, though. They have been able to build a snowman that's more than 20 feet tall. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
It's 2024. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you live across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Jane Matt Nair.
And I'm Greg Bach.
Join us Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon as we break down the news and share some laughs along the way.
We're talking to politicians, we're talking to community leaders, and we're talking to anyone who has a story.
And we occasionally get a visit from an umbrella cockatoo. Join us for Matt Nair on Air Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin lawmakers want to help the news industry. The Wisconsin Civic Information Consortium would create a newspaper tax credit and a local journalism fellowship program. Smaller advertising budgets and several layoffs have hurt the news business in Wisconsin. Accurate voting information's been put under assault over the last several election cycles. Rachel Ori is with the Bipartisan Policy Center. She says she's optimistic about the future.
Election officials and voting advocates around the country are sort of well prepared to mitigate and respond to increases in misinformation because they spent the last couple years flexing that muscle and learning how to respond to misinformation and election denial campaigns.
There's a bill in the legislature to require candidates to disclose when AI is used in campaign materials. I'm Nate Wiggehoe, Civic Media News.
Marquette makes it five in a row. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Marquette Golden Eagles beat a once great Villanova team 85-80. Villanova has now lost five in a row, their longest losing streak in 13 years. The Golden Eagles now with a five-game winning streak. Thanks to Tyler Kolick with a career-high 32 points. They play Saturday at Georgetown. Wisconsin is headed to Lincoln, Nebraska tomorrow night. The Badgers head coach Greg Gard says after a few days of rest, they now focus on the Cornhuskers.
Turn the page now quick to head on a road to a place that no Big Ten team has won yet. Obviously playing extremely well at home in Nebraska. And numbers, when you do the stat splits, are unbelievable of how much better they are at home. So had a good couple days off, which I thought were important for our guys on Saturday and Sunday, and then came back yesterday and started getting ready for Thursday night.
NBA, the Bucks' new head coach Doc Rivers says despite losing in Denver, the team showed him they can play on defense.
You know, the cat's out of the bag. They all proved they can do it.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
A little patchy fog this morning, then gradually becoming partly cloudy here as we head into the afternoon. High today, it's going to be mild, up to 45 for a high. The wind out of the west at 5 to 15. Tonight down to 28. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy, 41 on Friday. Partly cloudy with a high near 40. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06 on this Wednesday, January 31st, 2024. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. If you're not listening to a terrestrial radio station, perhaps you're listening through the Civic Media app or by podcast or on Facebook or the Up North News YouTube page or even on some Twitter feeds where we still unapologetically say Twitter instead of X. Wherever you're getting us, we appreciate you taking us along on this last day of January that is decidedly not January-like at all. I don't know how that... What's happening here? But it is gorgeous. We're looking at record highs today, potentially. Brittany Merlot is going to give us some updates coming up. You know, it's not just our mild winter right now, but it's actually the unending series of reminders that our planet has been heating up and causing significant problems that has caused climate to become an important issue among some voters. We'll talk to Melissa Baldoff about that in this week's Climate Check report. Governor Evers also takes a big red pen to the legislature's latest attempt to protect themselves from the newer, fairer maps that are soon to be coming to voters in Wisconsin. In our second hour, we will talk about some of the most active advocates for Wisconsin public education, and that would be retired teachers, as we meet some of the educators who are now working to educate the general public and state lawmakers about the best ways to support our kids and our schools. And about an hour from now, we will begin our series of interviews, just catching up with the three candidates running in the Democratic primary for the 3rd Congressional District. We'll talk to State Representative Katrina Shanklin coming up at 7:05, Rebecca Cook tomorrow at 7:05, and Eric Wilson Friday at 7:05. Each is hoping to win the primary come August and take on Republican Derek Van Orden in the 3rd Congressional District in western and parts of central Wisconsin. So be giving a listen for that. And Todd Alba will be coming up to tell us more about what's on the Todd Alba Show across the Civic Media Radio Network as well. So here we are with these warmer temperatures. I mean, they're a couple of degrees less than yesterday at this time, but still, for January 31st to feature temperatures like this is just kind of stunning. It's 33 up here on Lake Wissota right now. Hayward's at 29, Park Falls 30, Wausau reporting 33 degrees, Green Bay 35, La Crosse 34, Wisconsin Rapids is at 33 degrees, Oshkosh 35, Madison 34, and it's 32 in Waukesha, where we find one Greg Bach down at the studios of WAUK and the Shaw. He's looking back. Yep, it still says WAUK there. You're in the right place.
I didn't see you there.
You didn't see me? It just kind of snuck up on you?
Yeah, I mean, I was just doing my work, being a good producer, checking out things.
Yep. I'm kind of like the Spanish Inquisition, you know. Nobody expects when I'm going to put your camera on, show up and say, "Hey, you, talk to me. Hey, 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 Greg.
Mom,
I'm just trying to get my producer work done. Please leave me alone." But no, we do not.
Hello.
So can you tell? Do I look? I forgot to tell you to get a slide whistle.
Yeah.
Get a slide whistle sound effect ready. Do I look skinnier to you?
I guess. Wait,
we're trying to make colonoscopy jokes that are still appropriate for the morning here.
Well,
so.
I mean, that's the thing is, like, yesterday first of all, you didn't seem run down. You may have been tired because it was early.
Oh, I was. Yeah.
But then you explained the situation, which if you weren't listening yesterday, Pat got a colonoscopy. Mm-hmm. Get yourself a colonoscopy at the correct age, people. Listen to your
body. Right.
But today, and I asked you, hey, you're having a procedure done. Are you going to be ready for today? Because, you know, I'm resting and tired and blah, blah, blah. And
right.
You are chipper, sir.
I am. It is actually the prepping for it, and not the prepping everybody talks about, but the like clear liquid diet for the day before that really kind of gets you a run down. Plus, I'd say there's a little bit of, you know, dread. You're going into the hospital. You know, they have to give you an IV, and you know, I've never been an easy stick for nurses who want to get blood, and of course, so they needed three attempts to get an IV into me. So that was actually the most painful part. Once they knock you out for it, you're done. But the thing, I had this, you know, 10 years ago on the verge of turning 50, and now I'm having it again on the verge of turning 60.
Okay.
The thing with the anesthesia is it's almost like some of the flu shots that I've gotten and COVID shots and definitely the shingles shot that I got, where there's a certain window where you do feel cruddy. Man, there's something about those particular things, you know, vaccines, anesthesia. These people are good. You know, when it lifts, I mean, it lifts. And so like 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon, you know, I'd been home for a couple of hours and I was still really kind of feeling draggy and everything. And then like, you know, 3 o'clock or so came and it's just like, oh, hey, I'm back. Here we go. And everything is just fine. You know, plus what that sense of dread that you have earlier is it, now instead it's a feeling of, hey, I did that.
Yeah.
It's an important thing to do. Tell other men as well, and women too. You know, again, approaching 50 or whatever your doctor tells you.
Yeah.
Get the colonoscopy because you want to, you know, catch it. Now, thankfully, again, much like 10 years ago, everything was all fine and good, but, you know, you want to make sure.
Yay! We're very, very happy that you had a good experience.
Thank you. Appreciate that so much. Yeah, it's the right thing to do, and again, it's the kind of thing that you used to never talk about. You know, Katie Couric, you know, was kind of a pioneer in that, and you know, bless her for it because she lost the love of her life, her first husband, you know, to colon cancer, and you know, said, look, we need to be able to talk about these things, and so now we do. And if it, you know, again, to the degree that it helps anybody, even if it's not the colonoscopy, just to go to a doctor. So many people, men especially, are very hesitant. Families are hesitant because of, you know, health insurance coverage and all of that. But you know, you got to take care of yourself, folks.
I know. I'm unfortunately one of those. I'm not afraid of the doctor, not afraid of a needle stick, not afraid of drawing blood, not afraid of any of those stuff. But for me, it's like, I just don't want to get that bill.
Yeah, I know. And that's where, again, part of the reason we talk about politics and policy so much is that, I mean, we are such outliers in this country in the way that we cover and pay for healthcare. And we can do better, which is what we should always be striving for. Roger notes on Facebook, I was starving with 3 exclamation points after the procedure. I had mine 12 days ago. And in my Facebook comments were a few other people who either just had or are having them. So I'm glad we're talking about it. But yeah, the starving thing, it's true. I thought I would wake up from this thing. Yes, no, let me back up. This time yesterday, I hadn't had solid food in 24 hours. Yeah. And I was convinced I was going to go right from the hospital right to a McDonald's drive-thru, and I was going to eat a quarter pounder in one bite.
With no pickles.
With no pickles. Thank you, Sherry, for taking the pickles off my burgers. But I wasn't actually quite at that point. So I ended up kind of grazing through the kitchen later on when the anesthesia wore off. But it also reminded me in the midst of this, you get a little cranky and stuff, but you know, I don't actually have to eat as much as I normally eat in a typical day. I ate less and I lived. I'm here. So,
are you saying that you ate for the proper fuel your body needed?
It could be. Could be. So I've learned a lot since my physical in December and all of the poking and prodding that's gone on since. And let's see if we can take all of that in a positive direction.
Yeah.
With a better diet, with better exercise, and feeling good. Or I'm going to have the crankiest 60-year-old old man birthday party in July that anybody could ever want.
Who invited all of you?
Right? Get off my lawn. No, literally, get off my lawn.
This is my breakfast buffet.
Let's unpack some news at 6:15. Now, Governor Tony Evers, as promised, did veto a redistricting proposal put forward by Republicans in the Wisconsin legislature as part of a last-ditch effort to avert having the state Supreme Court draw and impose new maps. The veto came after 5 Wisconsin Republican members of Congress asked the newest progressive member of the state Supreme Court not to hear a lawsuit that seeks to redraw congressional district maps ahead of the November election because, again, in their mind, the problem that we have in politics right now is that Janet Protasiewicz got elected to the state Supreme Court. The problem isn't the maps that have been rigged for 12 years. The problem is that now you have a Supreme Court that is, you know, not beholden necessarily to the same political party that it was for all these years. So now you have Governor Evers vetoing this last-ditch map by Republicans. And Republicans, again, I don't know that they were really thinking this through when they sent one last map proposal to Governor Evers. They had said, well, the original Evers map put too many Republican incumbents in districts against each other, and that's not fair. So their map redrew the lines to protect themselves, the Republican incumbents. But that's almost literally the definition of gerrymandering, is protecting incumbents rather than drawing districts based on what's right for the voters and for each of the regions, you know, that the voters live in. So now we wait for the state Supreme Court to take the next step toward coming up with new legislative maps that voters will have come November. All right, let's check a little sports at 6:17 here. The 6th-ranked Badger men's basketball team is next at Nebraska tomorrow. But the 9th-ranked Marquette men's basketball team played last night at Villanova, and they won on the road 85-80. That's now a 5-game winning streak for Marquette, and their next game is Saturday at Georgetown. The Marquette women are at Creighton tonight. The Badger women's basketball team is at Ohio State tomorrow. The Milwaukee Bucks tonight are in Portland. Going to be a big welcome home for Dame Lillard, who returns to Portland to face his former team after spending 11 seasons with the Portland Trail Blazers. And you can catch those Milwaukee Bucks games on Oshkosh Air Support. News from the center in Richland Center, Lake Air in Amory, WRJN in Racine, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. And I think I did mention yesterday that the Badger men's hockey team is now 4th-ranked in the country. They're at the Kohl Center Friday, Saturday to take on 9th-ranked Minnesota. And the Badger women's hockey team, number 2 in the country, take their 9-game winning streak to Madison's LeBron Arena for a Saturday-Sunday series against number 10, St. Cloud State. All right, let's pause here, and then we'll unpack some more of the news, including President Trump courting Teamsters. What's that about? We'll answer that question in just over 60 seconds here, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this beautiful Wednesday morning. When you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Earl Ingram.
Sandy, people are talking about influencers. I don't see too many septuagenarians or octogenarian influencers. They're alive.
We're trying. Radio shows like this are efforts to be influencers, I suppose. Yeah. I mean,
we can possibly be influencers.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
Calvin's laughing.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Greg, I feel like we're doing it. We've got to be waving our hand. There we go. It was on this day in... Damn, you're a good dancer. He's got the whole Beyonce move. Just stellar stuff, kids. We got to...
There are 26.6 million views of this song on YouTube. If you don't think I'm responsible for at least 10 million of them... You'd be mistaken in how much I love this woman.
It was on this day in 2010 that Beyonce was a big winner at the Grammys. She won 6 out of the 10 awards she was nominated for, including that one, Single Ladies, as Song of the Year. Much more in today's history lesson and some musical memories coming up in a half hour or so. Hey, our newsletter this morning is your connection to a roundup of content from around Wisconsin, including stories about a vintage arcade owner. There is a bakery that describes itself as a, what is it called here? A food positive space. So no talk about calories when you're in this bakery. There's an article linking you to some of the most legendary buzzer beaters in UW history. And then there's my article about why all of this work going on toward a bipartisan border security deal remains all talk for right now and might stay that way for the foreseeable future. But to learn more about that, you can read that story in our newsletter. Sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com and click newsletter there in the top banner. So the former president is heading to a meeting with the Teamsters Union. Former President Trump is going to be trying to cut into the support that is currently enjoyed by President Joe Biden by union labor because he's been the most union labor friendly president in our lifetimes. And somehow the former president thinks he's going to, you know, tap into that. Now, he is going to tap into individual members in the union because, you know, unions are made up of all kinds of folks who vote all kinds of different ways. And so Trump will participate in a roundtable with the Teamsters executive board, its president, some rank and file members, continuing to try to target blue collar workers, the people who fueled his 2016 victory. Unions, you know, do tend to vote Democratic. For good reason that, you know, there's one party that is representing folks who work in a union and another party that represents their CEOs. But through social issues, especially, say, gun ownership and some other reasons, there are rank and file members who are definitely supportive of conservative and right wing candidates. But the former president is going to be asked, you know, does he have a plan for labor, for union workers, especially going up against, you know, a very pro-worker president? In other words, what's Donald Trump's plan? What's his plan for American workers, especially labor workers? I have the answer for you. There is no plan. He's never had a plan, just like there's never been a healthcare plan. There's never been an infrastructure plan. In fact, we actually have his plan. It's based on one social media post after the United Auto Workers Union, led by Sean Fain, endorsed President Biden. You'll recall Biden actually marched a picket line with UAW workers. And so here's what Trump posted about Sean Fain and the UAW. This is his labor plan. Quote, Sean Fain doesn't understand this or have a clue. Get rid of this dope and vote for DJT. I will bring the automobile industry back to our country. How? What's your plan? What's your plan for that? Is it another trade war like the one that you had with China that jacked up tariffs? Do you know who paid for those tariffs? We did. American consumers. Other countries don't just swallow higher tariffs. That's not how it works. They add it to the eventual price tag that we end up paying. So it was basically more American money went to China and other countries courtesy of Donald Trump. He is a vacuum. He is sucking up cash that either goes to higher tax brackets or goes to other countries entirely. Here's what else Trump did when he was president. His people on the National Labor Relations Board reversed several earlier rulings that had made it easier for small unions to organize, had strengthened the bargaining rights of franchise workers, and had provided protection for workers against anti-union measures. Trump undid all of those things. Trump hates unions. And for the Teamsters to even give him the time of day is ill-advised. But again, politics is a fickle thing. And you can certainly see where the Teamsters' leadership, having some individual members, you know, supporting Trump, want to make it look like they're trying to keep an open mind for as long as they can. But the Teamsters are not the NRA. There may be a lot of members in the Teamsters' ranks who are still convinced that the government's going to come take our guns, because that's the foolishness that the NRA and others has been spreading for decades. But if you measure support just in terms of labor issues, worker issues, there is no contest between the two candidates for president. But Teamsters will go ahead and, you know, pretend to kick the tires on this guy. And who knows, maybe the Teamsters won't even offer a formal endorsement of President Biden. That's not going to stop what Biden and Democrats are going to do to make the case for what they have done for workers, all workers, over, you know, these past 3+ years. 6:27 right now. Valentine's Day coming up. First day of February is tomorrow. And so checked out some of what is being, you know, published for Valentine's Day gifts. And Greg, I know I hinted at this yesterday, 10 best Valentine's Day gifts for under $50 in 2024 is the headline that's in a bunch of Wisconsin newspapers today. So, you know, help me rate these. I'm not going to bother with the brand names. Let's just talk about, in, you know, the concept of the gift. Hand cream is what's listed. I think that's okay.
Pretty standard. You know,
scented candles. That's almost cliche at this point. An insulated tumbler, not necessarily a Stanley, but, you know, one of these insulated tumblers. I will admit I have purchased a couple of coffee mugs for my wife, but I've gotten them. They're not the insulated ones. They're the ones that you can get photos printed on them.
Okay.
So there's photos of the kids and the grandkids.
Those are fun.
Personalized gifts are fun.
So far,
well,
very
look at
basic.
This one.
So basic.
Well, here's one that's outside of basic. A waffle maker, and not just any waffle maker, a heart-shaped waffle maker.
Make sure she likes to make waffles.
or you
else
could make
you
them
say,
for her.
Make me breakfast.
Yeah. Yes. Here's one that's hip with the times. Pickleball paddles.
Okay.
I know.
Ahead.
Yeah. You're laughing at hip to the times, aren't you?
Yeah.
We've got bath salts.
Zombies!
Here's one for wireless headphones. They're basically a JBL version of Apple AirPods.
Sure.
I think that could definitely work. And then a chocolate bar gift box. Okay, you're not going to go wrong with chocolate.
No, you're not. But
right?
Yeah. I mean, all of those are pretty standard. I mean, the headphones are cool. There are a couple of things I've seen. Like, I talked to you about this yesterday. You can get your partner a custom-made Funko Pop doll. You can make them into a little Pop doll.
Right.
And also, I saw these cool things on the internet where you can have a picture of yourself and your sweetheart sewn into the lapel or into a hoodie so it looks like a picture.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That'd be nice, too. And then the last one they list here is the one my wife asks for every year, and she's probably going to get it again, cozy socks.
There you go.
Loves cozy socks.
Yeah.
So it's a cozy socks Valentine's Day, kids. All right. Climate Check with Melissa Baldoff is next. You're up north.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North. 910 AM WBZH.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Outgoing Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm. The way I joke about it is I'm probably not doing my job right if somebody's not ticked off at me most of the time.
The only way you can do it is if you have that steadfast commitment to doing justice. That tension's built into it, and that's quite frankly what makes the job just so phenomenal and exciting and fun.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Weeknights at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
A very important cattle inventory report on the way to the marketplace this afternoon. I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Yeah, actually, some scary numbers could be on the way. USDA will release their cattle inventory numbers and also the calves that we have here in the United States. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing in West Bend, explains what he expects to see.
I think the market's going to really be watching what's happening with the breeding heifers for beef replacement heifers. That's got a wide range of analyst estimates. Some people think as low as almost 3% below last year. Some people think of 4% above last year. The big swing number there, depending what that number shows, will be determining are we still contracting the cattle herd or are we finally maybe seeing some growth if we bring some of those heifers in over last year and maybe getting this herd to stabilize.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. That cattle inventory report from USDA coming out today after the close. So the market will be reacting on these numbers on Thursday. What do the numbers look like in overnight electronic trade? Well, if you're trying to sell corn, soybeans, or wheat, you're not going to like it. Numbers are next. Fabulous Farm Babe. Glad to be joined in studio today by Doug Munson. He is the gentleman that is working in conjunction with the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board to make things happen here in the state of Wisconsin. What starts in Wisconsin can have a ripple effect across the United States.
That's what we always hope for, is what are those ripple effects? You know, for every dollar that's invested, it's a return of $12.34. You know, how those investments really bring value, they can be debated or they can be looked at in many different ways. Biodiesel brings, I think we say over a dollar now, you know, years ago before inflation, we'll say, it was 63 cents to a bushel of soybeans brought that value. Whether it's 63 cents or it's $1.34, which we've heard as high as that amount, that's a huge amount of value to your bushel of soybeans. So those are the things that are ripple effects, right? That can start in Wisconsin or sometimes at the national level, but have big impact in the world of soybean.
Doug Munson, in studio with me on behalf of the Wisconsin Soybean Association and the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, the financial driving force behind our research that's done here in the state of Wisconsin. For more, pop on over to cornsoyexpo.org. Barrel cheese yesterday dropped 2 cents to 153. 40-pound block cheese was up 3 3/4 at 164 3/4, while double-A butter stood still at 280 1/4 per pound. This morning, March corn's down a penny. December new crop down a penny, 479. March beans are down 9 1/2. November new crop down 8. Currently at 11.89, July wheat's down 6, 6.13. February Class 3 milk's up 7 right now, 16.30 a hundredweight. And in case you had not heard, yesterday they concluded 12 weeks of testimony and cross-examination on the National Federal Milk Marketing Order System. They've concluded the listening part. Now they put together their recommendations. They had 40 proposals submitted, 21 were listened to by USDA. I'm PM Yankee.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
A little patchy fog this morning, then gradually becoming partly cloudy here as we head into the afternoon. High today, it's going to be mild, up to 45 for a high. The wind out of the west at 5 to 15. Tonight down to 28. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy, 41 on Friday. Partly cloudy with a high near 40. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The immigration challenge in this country, as Jorge Ramos, the great author, likes to say, you can build as many and high walls and deep walls as you possibly want. But until you start addressing the problem within countries, people will keep coming. For all of our faults, people still look at America as that shining city on a hill and want to come here, and I believe that makes us stronger.
The Todd Alma Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
It's electric!
And here we are, time for this week's edition of Climate Check with Melissa Baldoff on Up North News Radio. And as we take up issues in climate, we wanted to make mention of something that might fly under the radar here. For all the talk about immigration and inflation and certainly foreign affairs right now in the Middle East, the fact of the matter is climate is an issue for many voters. It's maybe not their number one, but it's one that's up there. So we felt it was time to talk about, you know, how exactly that might play out in 2024. So that's where we kick things off with Melissa Baldoff. Melissa, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, you and I see so many things through a political lens, which, as we both know, is both a blessing and a curse. But as we're looking at some of the write-ups, you know, for this year's campaign and what's out there, what do you think of that opening statement that climate, you know, it isn't like some kind of fringe issue for a whole lot of voters out there?
Yes. I mean, times they have changed since, we had Al Gore talking about climate change and people thought this was some, like you said, fringe issue. This is an issue that is top of mind at the top of the list or near the top of the list for a number of voters, and not just young voters. We've talked before about young voters being particularly motivated by climate change, and certainly Democrats generally. But I think that what we're starting to see is a trend that independent voters and even some Republicans, especially younger ones, are very concerned about climate change. They know that this is an issue that is, going to have a significant impact on the economy, on our health, on our society, on the way we interact with one another, the way, people are able to access food, access recreation opportunities. This is something that touches every area of our society, of our communities, of an individual person's life. And more people are starting to recognize that.
I want to give credit to Mark Gonloff of Bloomberg Opinion for a stellar column about this, noting, as you said, that voters are starting to get a growing awareness of this, especially as we see more heat waves, droughts, floods, wildfires, unusually warm winters like this. And he writes, Trump and his fellow Republicans, meanwhile, just keep embracing the Paleolithic drill baby drill denialism of a bygone age. During his time in office, Trump pulled the U.S. out of the Paris Climate Accords, rolled back environmental regulations, and is promising an all-out war on climate science, if he wins in November. And then he goes on to note that former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley isn't that much better. She's referred to the Inflation Reduction Act as a communist manifesto and vowed to repeal Biden's green energy handouts, even though most of those benefits go to Republican-run states. And Melissa, it's worth noting again, and I think going to get noted a lot this year, that a big chunk of Americans, when they hear what's in the Inflation Reduction Act, they support the things that are in it.
They absolutely do. And, and I think that crosses political divides. People don't, just like people might say they don't like Obamacare, but if you tell them, do you want your kids to be able to stay on your insurance? Do you want people to not be excluded from coverage for having a pre-existing condition? They say, oh, yeah, I love that stuff. The fact is that people might not like that Joe Biden and Democrats delivered the Inflation Reduction Act, but they like what's in it. They like that there is funding going into communities to improve water quality, to update our infrastructure, to help rural communities, change how they're doing things and improve resilience. So people really like what's going on. They just maybe don't like that Democrats and Joe Biden got it done.
I noticed a social media post this week, and I don't have it in front of me here, but it was somebody said, I teach climate science, and I am, I forget how he put it, disappointed or heartbroken over how few of his students are even aware of the Inflation Reduction Act, not to mention all of the climate-related, energy-efficient elements that are in it. And we're going to get to some Wisconsin-specific ones in a moment here. But I know we've had this discussion before about the low public awareness of it and, you know, the need for President Biden and Democrats to, you know, kick the messaging into high gear. Maybe I'm being glass half full, but it seems to me like, okay, that you've got nowhere to go but up in terms of mm-hmm. public awareness. And you know the public is on your side in general on these issues. So this, I think, might be more of a weapon for Democrats in this cycle than most people would guess right now.
Yeah, I think that's correct. And I think, I mean, look, you've even got Fox News finally started talking about climate change because they're mad about Taylor Swift, right? I mean, they are mad that she's flying on a private jet. And they're just mad at Taylor Swift in general. So, you know, maybe that's going to be what gets Republicans to finally acknowledge climate change is the fact that, you know, they want to hate on Taylor Swift. But in all seriousness, I do think that this is an issue that, you know, it's going to get a lot more attention as we near the election this fall. I think that, and we've talked about this before, that more and more resources are going to be flowing into communities under the Inflation Reduction Act. We're going to see shovels in the ground. We're going to see projects getting underway, and people are going to really start to feel those positive impacts. And it's going to, I think, just continue to raise awareness about how serious the issue is and who is serious about tackling the issue.
Right. And in terms of, you know, doing the actual tackling of this issue, to come back to the Inflation Reduction Act, it included something for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, a program called the Rural Energy for America Program. So REAP, R-E-A-P would be the acronym, the Rural Energy for America Program, which got a $2 billion boost through the Inflation Reduction Act. And just the latest round of awards that are coming for these grants, as announced by Senator Tammy Baldwin recently, included a couple of large farms to install more energy-efficient grain dryers, other places to put up solar electric arrays, and in other places, more energy-efficient electric irrigation pumps, for example, for the Manitowish Cranberry Company in Manitowish Waters. And so each one of these is kind of, you know, the proof in the pudding about the value of the Inflation Reduction Act. Again, not the best name they could have picked for something that is historic in its level of support for, you know, a green energy economy.
Yeah. And, you know, I think one of the things that's so important about this announcement that you just mentioned is that this is really going into parts of the state and, you know, all around the country, we're going to see going into areas where, you know, people have really felt forgotten and they felt left behind and they have not felt included in that transition to clean energy. And I think that it was really smart to be intentional about including these communities and making sure that they get to share the success and that they get to be a part of that transition and make it in a way that is cost effective and is going to save local taxpayers money, help small businesses, help farmers. And I think that's been really important. You know, so often we've heard from Republicans, you know, one of their many excuses for not supporting clean energy progress in Wisconsin is like, oh, well, it's too much money for Madison and Milwaukee, right? It's always too much money for Milwaukee and Madison.
Right.
And what we're seeing is a real effort to have these funds available in all different parts of the state to help in all different areas. And, you know, I think that is really a significant part of the Inflation Reduction Act and why it is successful.
Mm-hmm. So obviously something we'll continue to talk about, the many elements of that that are, frankly, it is a huge boon to small businesses and to agribusinesses all across Wisconsin, all across the country. But let's pivot to one more topic for this week, and that is how you measure the changing climate in Antarctica, which is enough of a challenge if you're there. But imagine being part of the front lines of this while you're in Wisconsin. And it turns out there's a lot to be said about that. Laura Schultz had an article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that caught your eye and caught my eye, that it turns out Wisconsin is kind of like a leader in Antarctic climate research. What's that about?
I know. This, I thought, was just a really cool story. That I think is, you know, so representative of something else that we've talked about before, again, which is how important it is that we are investing in our universities and our technical colleges and why that is important when it comes to climate change. We know we have innovators in Wisconsin. We know we have incredible entrepreneurs and thinkers and scientists and people with big ideas. And to be able to be a part of this program that has, you know, stations all over the world, and is able to, you know, really understand the connection between different parts of the globe. And if you can understand, you know, big events in one area, it can help you understand how those changes happen in other parts of the world. You know, the changes that are happening in Antarctica can affect people worldwide when we think about ice melting, gaining ice, especially if those things happen really quickly. And it helps us understand how those changes can ripple out and impact things short term and long term all around the globe.
Yeah, it talks about a team of faculty and students from UW-Madison and Madison Technical College that have been part of this program for years, and they staff an estimated 60 of the 140 weather stations in Antarctica. And as they noted, you know, they were able to use not just these weather beacons, but others around the world to measure a very warm atmospheric river, which basically shifted from the tropical regions all the way down to Antarctica. It just helps explain, again, the connection of climate worldwide. And so just a very fascinating Wisconsin tie-in to this. I'm not sure. I mean, I support them. I'm not sure it's something I would necessarily want to go down and, you know, change the batteries on something myself down there. But I like the way you put it that, yeah, this is where, again, we in Wisconsin have always been leaders in research and science in our colleges, universities, and technical colleges. And I think an article like this shows why they should continue to deserve support from our legislature and elsewhere.
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, and I thought it was, you know, it was really interesting, you know, that the technical college students, they're involved in the design and the building of the technology, you know, not just the, you know, not just teams that are analyzing the data. It's really, you know, they're connecting the dots in a lot of different ways with this project, which I think is really cool. And I'm sure it's an incredible experience for the students who get to make that yearly trip to Antarctica to, you know, install, repair, update the technology. You know, I know it felt like the Antarctic to us a couple weeks ago when we had the cold spell, but I'm sure it's nothing compared to what they actually experience when they visit.
No. But again, just a great article to check out in the Journal Sentinel as we, again, learn what we can about the value of researching a changing climate all around the world, but especially the impact and the leadership shown right here in Wisconsin. Melissa Baldoff, always nice to catch up on climate issues. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Thanks. You too.
And yeah, climate is going to continue to be an issue. It will be reminded about it during weather extremes, including like this one. But that issue and many more are going to come up in interviews that are going to get started in just about 15, 20 minutes or so
here on Up North News Radio as we interview the three candidates running in the Democratic primary for the 3rd Congressional District. That will begin with Representative Katrina Shanklin coming up this morning at 7:05, Rebecca Cook tomorrow at 7:05, Eric Wilson on Friday at 7:05. So get set to learn a lot about the issues involved in the 3rd Congressional District race. Coming up next, today's history lesson and musical memories, and a visit with Melissa Kay from locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids. All next, you're up north.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10. On the Buzz of the North, 910 AM, WBZH.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
That's Terry Kath, co-founder and guitarist that helped form the band Chicago, who was born this day in 1946, passed away accidentally in 1978. Also in today's history lesson, this is a birthday for Don Hudson, Green Bay Packers legend, player, and coach, born this day in 1913, passed away in 1997. And Jackie Robinson was born on this day in 1919, passed away in 1972. You may have heard during the last newscast about how a statue to Jackie Robinson had been taken down and destroyed in Topeka, Kansas. A lot of funds coming in to replace that statue, and hopefully that continues to build and make sure that hate knows that it is not welcome in Topeka or any place else. Let's continue today's history lesson with our friend Melissa Kay from locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. It's good to be right here.
Yeah. Your hair looks a little different today.
Yeah, it's fancy. I had headshots last night for our show, The Glass Menagerie, coming up at the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater.
Oh, okay. Greg, you were asking if she did a particular pose just right. He's turning his head now to give the look. Oh, the shoulder.
Hold on.
He's going to take his headphones off.
He's got to do the whole thing. He's fluffing his hair.
Look at him. Nice. Oh, my God. I don't even recognize that fellow. I don't even know who that is. Yeah.
Very nice, Greg. Next runway for you.
I've been in theater.
All right. Let's get you guys in a play together real soon.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah. On this day in 1970, the number one hit was by the Jackson 5. So here's a very interesting history tidbit for today. On this day in 1846, it marked the end of the Milwaukee Bridge War. Are you kids up to speed on your Wisconsin history?
I know about the Milwaukee Bridge War.
Okay. It is because there was not just Milwaukee. There was Juneautown and Kilbourntown that were essentially at war over how to put bridges over the rivers in that area. And when it was eventually resolved, they unified and created what is now the city of Milwaukee. But it started with real threats of violence and destruction of people's private bridges back in 1846. So you see, infrastructure, always an important issue going way back when.
Also just really poor naming of cities, like I'm Juno. Juno Town.
I'm Kilborn. Kilborn Town.
I'll light your bridge on fire.
Someday I want to be a bridge troll. That is a bridge what I troll.
Ooh,
to
trip
life.
Trap, trip trap, trip trap. Yes.
What will your questions eat. Three be?
Ooh, I have to think on that.
Yes. Would you rather fight what is it? A horse-sized duck or a bunch of duck-sized horses?
Or would you rather be sticky or itchy?
I'd rather be itchy.
I don't know where that one
itchy.
Came from, but yeah.
My 10-year-old niece.
I'd rather be itchy.
Such wisdom from kids. All right. On this day in 1970, Led Zeppelin made their highest chart appearance in the U.S. at number 4 with this one. You need cooling. Baby, I'm not fooling. I'm gonna sit, yeah, back to schooling. Again, Whole Lotta Love got to number 4 this day in 1970, but that's because of many of their songs, including Stairway to Heaven, were not released as singles. And it reminds me of the old days of album rock, you know, when there was just your soft rock contemporary music stations, and then there was your album rock. And if you didn't listen to that one, you'd sometimes hear things like a Stairway to Heaven and go, where did that come from? And of course, the people listening to album rock stations are like, what are you talking about, man? They play this all the time, which is my exact description of what an album rock, you know, fan sounds like. So,
ouch.
The Ohio Players had the number one song this day in 1976.
Oh,
I got my roller skates on.
Just look up the album Honey by the Ohio Players. It is dirty.
Those were the days when album covers were real works of art.
When women can be objectified for art.
Oh, I didn't say they were all works of art by any stretch.
Pat Kreitlow loves objectified women through album art.
You make it sound wrong. Yes, because
I have a purse made out of an old record cover.
That's cool.
You have a what made?
A purse.
A purse made out of an old record cover?
What record?
Record album, yeah.
What record?
Tijuana Brass.
Oh. Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass.
Yeah. With the woman covered in whipped cream.
Oh, that's right. I remember that one. Yes. Yeah, not every album cover was a winner, folks.
Apparently I'm the only
person. I don't
take
that purse.
I'm the only person here who supports women. Not ever, I guess.
Yeah,
I bought it when I was like 17.
They can't all be Sergeant Pepper, you know.
And I don't take it to church, you know. So,
Happy birthday to Justin Timberlake, fresh off his appearance on Saturday Night Live. He is 43 today. In the zone, I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood. Either one of you see him on SNL last weekend?
I did. His first performance was really, really good. The second was
first
okay.
Okay. I was kind of plus minus on both, but I also know I'm always that way. When I hear a song the very first time, it's rare that I hear something and go, oh, that's going to be my new favorite song. It was like, okay, I'm going to have to hear you one or two more times. I can't imagine I felt that way about this song, though. I mean, it just comes right off, right away.
It's catchy.
You're just kind of, bebop. I mean, it is bubblegum rock for our time. Roger reminds us that Nolan Ryan turns 77 today with 5,714 career strikeouts, 7 career no-hitters. Happy birthday to Nolan Ryan.
He put Randy Johnson on there, 4,700, and a bird.
I want to say Randy Johnson. Killing that seagull with a pitch is still one of the most epic things ever, yes.
Oh, yeah, look it up online.
Oh, yes. It's National Hot Chocolate Day, Brandy Alexander Day, National Backwards Day, Social Security Check Appreciation Day, Brussels Sprouts Day, Gorilla Suit Day, Hug an Economist Day, Scotch Tape Day, International Zebra Day. With so many things to choose from.
Wow.
How are you, Melissa, going to celebrate today?
I'm going to put scotch tape on something.
On an economist.
As you're hugging him and feeding him Brussels sprouts.
and hoping I someday get a Social Security check.
No, it's coming. You know, time is funny that way. All right. Melissa, thank you so much. Appreciate the visits. You keep rehearsing those lines.
I will.
We'll get Greg in to play with you again real soon.
Great.
All right. Coming up next, State Representative Katrina Shanklin starts our candidate interview.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.